You are listening to BensTorah.com.
First, I want to quote Flip Wilson, a love of Sholem. He was a black comedian. And one of his most famous lines was, "What you see is what you get." And if you memorize that line, and you put it on your heart, just like they say in Mishle, Chokok, you have to engrave it, Aluche Libecha, on the blackboard of your soul, you will save yourself so much suffering in life, and you will be able to achieve the ultimate of happiness. Ultimate happiness in life. Now let me explain this in many facets, how we deal with it. First of all, the most important thing we deal with is when it comes to marriage. All right, first let's talk about marriage, then we'll get into everyday life. You have to know, one of the biggest problems that people have when they're going out in Shidduchim, looking for a girl, looking for a guy, is they feel that they could go and change the other person. They feel, all right, I have these problems with this girl, these problems with the guy, but once we get married, we'll go and I'll change him, or I'll go and I'll change her. Well, people don't change. I know, I'm in the business, I'm trying to change you guys, and you know how rough it is, right, Benny? What? You see how rough it is, how hard it is to go and change somebody. And there's no way in the world that a husband will be able to change his wife, her wife will be able to go and change her husband. So do you know what it means? The bottom line is, what you see is what you get. And if you like the person for who they are right now, with all their pluses and their minuses, then you could have a successful marriage. If you find things within them, that you're not happy about, then drop it right now, because things are not going to change. And what I really wanted, that's basically to remember that anytime you're going out, when to get married. But what I want to talk about today is something so crucial that it has to do with interpersonal relationships, that we're the most successful. Let me tell you what defines success in this world, and everybody should know that. You could be the smartest guy in the world. You could have all the credentials, all the PhDs. You could be the cleverest person in the world. But do you know what's going to make you successful in business and successful in everything? Is how you relate to people. I cannot stress this over and over and over again. It's so important. The most important thing is how you deal with people. If you are perceived as a good person, if you are a good person, if you know how to interact with people, no matter what you do, no matter what aspect of your life you're involved in, you will be successful. And one of the most important concepts of being successful is the concept of live and let live. To be easygoing, carefree, and not getting annoyed by other people's idiosyncrasies, other people's shit. You have to know that. You should know, everybody, every single person has shtick. That's the reality of life. We all have shtick. And how we deal with other people's shtick is really crucial on how we go and succeed in life. There's a very strange medrash. The medrash says, this is the Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon who was in the cave with his father of Shimon Bar Yochai for 13 years. They were composing the Zohar then. And all the angels flying around there. In fact, he was so holy that they had buried their necks in dirt all day long because they only owned one pair of clothing that they used to take off and daven at special intervals. So they're up to their necks all day long in sand, saying over Holy Torah. There are fires going all over the place from the holiness of the angels. There's really geschmack over there. And so after he came out of the cave, he went back to Yeshiva, whatever, and he was very happy. He was learning Torah. He probably just got a smicha, and he was riding along in his horse, on his horse, and he was mezach daitolov. He was very proud of himself. He was a little bit too haughty for Hashem's caring. So what happened? Hashem wanted to put him in his place. And how did Hashem go and want to put him in his place? Who do you send to a gadol like that? You send Eliyahu HaNavi. So how did Eliyahu HaNavi appear to Rabbi Shimon? He appeared to him as a very ugly man. So he came up to him and he said, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. So So Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, is looking down on this ugly guy. He says, "Man, are you ugly? I have not met such ugly guy like you in all my life. Perhaps all the people in your town are just as ugly." And then he says, "Oh, really? Well, why didn't you go to my maker? Why didn't you go to the one who created me and said, 'Hey, God, you created this ugly guy.'" And Rabbi Shimon said, "Oy vey, what did I say? Oh, that's terrible." So he got down on the horse and said, "I beg your forgiveness." He says, "No, I'm not going to forgive you until you go to my maker and you go and tell my maker he made an ugly product." So here he is begging his forgiveness, walking along. Finally, he comes to the town with Rabbi Shimon, the good old door. The whole town comes out to greet him. And so this ugly guy says, "What are you doing?" He says, "This is Rabbi Shimon. He's the greatest man of the generation." He said, "If this is the greatest man of the generation, there should be no more great men in the Jewish people." They said, "Oh, curses! You pagan! What are you saying?" He said, "Well, let me tell you what happened." And they heard. He says, "Aval pichein, nevertheless, you have to be moichelim. Here's a gadol. Yes, mechila, you have to be moichelim." He says, "I'll moichelim, but don't ever let it happen again." Weird. This is weird. You know, the more is packed with weird stories, but this ranks on the top level of weirdness. You know, what do you mean? So the guy's ugly, you know? The Gemara says that if you see an ugly guy, you don't say how ugly you are. You say a bracha. Baruch b'shad abriyas. You know, like you see an elephant, you see an ugly guy. He should have made a bracha. It says, shteitin shulchan aruch. What's he saying? He's ugly. So the fortune said the guy wasn't physically ugly. He didn't have, like, Pinocchio long nose. He had warts growing out of his face. That wasn't it. Ugly means he had rotten midos. He saw that the man had rotten midos, and he was shocked. He said, "Wow, I've never seen a guy with such rotten midos. Maybe you come from a town like Stoim and Amora, where the people are rotten. Maybe that's what happened. I've never seen a naturally person that has such rotten midos. Maybe it's the influence of your environment or something like that." So do you know what the man answered him back? He says, "Look, you Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon." This is Eliyahu talk, you know, so he has a direct source to God. You know, he knows the insight, what's going on over there. He says, "You're a big tzaddik. You had a father who was a big tzaddik. You sat in a cave for 13 years. You learned Zohar all the time. Me, Hashem made me like this. Hashem gave me these bad midos. And I'm trying the best with what I have. Who are you to come along and say that I have no place in this world because of my bad midos? Go and complain to Hashem. Hashem made me. This is my test in life. Just because you come from a great lineage, a great family, and you had it easy, I have it rough. For me to say hello to somebody in a nice way is a challenge. So fine, what are you comparing yourself to me?" And that was the lesson that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to go and teach for Rabbi Shimon. You have to know, just like the Gemara tells us, that nobody stubs their toe unless it is decreed from heaven. In Shemayim says, "Thou shalt stub thine toe." It's the same thing. When people come along and you have a social interaction, when you talk to people and there's a guy getting on your nerves and your first inclination is to shove the guy off and say, "Shut up, you idiot. I don't want to talk to you anymore. I don't want to deal with you." You should know Hashem is decreeing this conversation right now, and Hashem is coming along to see what is your reaction to this conversation. Every time you talk to someone and that person says a stupid thing to you, and 99% of the things that come out of people's mouths are stupid things, you should know that. That's a fact. Call Gadol. It's a Mishnah, I think. Call Gadol 99%, and we're all guilty of it. You know what we should have? Let me tell you what we should have. You know, like on radio, in case somebody cusses or anything like that, they have this button. They have a 9-second delay. Why do they have a 9-second delay? Because who knows what kind of stupidity these people are going to say. And we should have a 9-second delay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should put in our minds a 9-second delay between our thoughts and what comes out of our mouths. If we had a 9-second delay, we would solve so many problems in our lives. But what happened? People have like diarrhea of the mouth. It just comes out. Whatever is in your mind just plops right out into the general format of the world. And what happens? People say without thinking. And you know what happens when people say without thinking? They cause people tremendous harm. Now, are people doing that intentionally? When people act like idiots, are they truly doing intentionally? No. People do not necessarily work on their character. So what happens? You have people that may be abrasive, people who may say foolish things, but they're not out to be evil or to do things. So what you have to realize is people are who they are. You don't have to go and be the best friends of people, but you have to respect every person and understand they're coming from different places. They have a different mindset. They're viewing things in a totally different way. And that's how you understand what people are. Now, it's very important. We have something very strange in the Parsha of Saita. As Parsha Saita says, the Parsha before Saita talks about you have to give Trumas and Maisros. And then follows the Parsha Saita. So Rashi brings down the Chazal that says, why does one thing follow the other? Why does the Parsha of Saita next to the Parsha of Trumas and Maisros? To teach us, if a person doesn't give Trumas and Maisros, and they don't want to go to the Kohen to give the Trumas and Maisros, then they'll end up going to the Kohen with giving the Saita. Because the Saita has to be brought, his wife is going to commit adultery or something like that, and go in front of the Kohen. What does one thing have to do with the other? What does one thing have to go and do with each other? Just leave this, don't worry about it, just leave it there, we'll go off in a minute. Alright? Leave it, forget about it. Alright? So, what does one thing have to do with the other? What is the concept of not giving truma have to do with your wife committing adultery? Why is one going to do this? It's very fair. Well, what's pshat? Nicole, yes, and yesterday, what's pshat? So the answer is like this. How can a person not give Trumas and Maisros? How can they go and cheat the Kohen? You know how they cheat the Kohen? Why in the world does a Kohen get Trumas and Maisros? Why? Because the Kohanim and the Levim were not given a portion in Eretz Yisrael. Do you know what it means to be landless in a society which is a total agricultural society? It means you're a nomad. You have no roots. You don't have a set place where you're shaved. You are scattered in all these different cities throughout Eretz Yisrael. You weren't in one place. You weren't like any other shaved. So Hashem says, yes, you know I'm scattering the Kohanim and Levim because they're the teachers. And in lieu of land, they're going to be getting this Trumas and Maisros. They're going to be having these things. So what's happening? A person, when you give Trumas and Maisros, this isn't like you're taking from your own property. This isn't like you're giving the Kohen a donation out of the beauty of your own heart, out of your own feeling. You're giving him what's due. He's sacrificing. The whole tribe of the Kohanim Levim are sacrificing themselves just for your sake. And you know what you do? I don't care. You say, I'm not giving them Trumas and Maisros. I don't care. This is mine. I can't sympathize. I can't care. I care about me. I care about my possessions more than everything else. I don't care about somebody else's feelings. I don't care about somebody else's sacrifices. All I care about is me and what's good for me. And what happens when you have that attitude in a marriage? What happens when you look at your wife and you stop looking at her as a person? You start looking at her as a possession. When you just feel, well, I have my car, I have my house, I have my wife, I have my clothes. Your wife isn't a human being. You don't sympathize. You don't realize what she's doing for you. And then when you're giving your, oh, look, I'm bringing, what? Of course my wife should have all the kids. She should clean up. She should make food for me. She should do everything for me. I bring home the money. I work like a slave all day. If you want to get a woman upset, you tell her, what do you do all day? What do you do all day? What's going on? What do you do all day? If she had one of those, the rolling pins, there goes your head. That's the end of it. What are you doing? I mean, what do you do out there? You try to do what your wife will do, and you'll run out and say, I'd rather go to Wall Street and work all day. All right, so then that's why you have got to... That's why she threw you out. That's why she sent you to Belgium. That's why she ended up in Shiva. That's right. She threw him out of Belgium. But that's the whole point. The whole point is if you cannot go and understand who your wife is, you can't feel for her, then what happens? She's an object. And what's going to happen when your wife feels like she's an object and she's unloved? She's going to try to find love from something else, and she's going to find a paramour. He's going to find someone else who will give her that love, and that will come to a Saita. That's a connection between not giving Trumas and Maisros and the Saita. Now, what do you do? Let me ask you. A lot of times, guys come up to you, come meet them especially, and they really bug you. And a lot of times, you want to go and tell them what you really feel about them. Is it sheker? Well, most of the times I do say what I feel, but not an average guy. We're talking about an average guy. Well, don't worry. I'll tell you right after this shmooze. All right? But what do you do when you have these feelings against somebody? It says, Midvar Sheker Tirchok. Everybody feels when they get married, they should spill their guts out to their wife. But have you ever been to a schlacht house, a slaughterhouse? You know what guts look like? Kishkas? All right, Joey. I don't think they framed it for you afterwards. But you put all your kishkas out on the table, what are you left with? It's gross! Ugh. Anybody who goes and wants to spill their guts out to their wife has to be there, have their head examined. The wife isn't interested in it, and you don't do it. So what do you do? How do you deal with this midbar sheker tirchok? So the Benish Chai said over a famous story. And once there was a young man. There was a young man who wanted to do emes. He was an ish emet, and he only wanted to do the emet. And so he said, "I hate you, sheker. I hate you." That was his slogan. I hate sheker. And one day he was lying in his bed. He was lying in his bed. All of a sudden he woke up, and there was this little man dancing at the head of his bed. He said, "Wow, what was I drinking last night? I must have had Michael's cholent with a beer in it, and it didn't burn out the beer." And he said, "Woke up." He said, "Who are you?" He said, "I am the malach in charge of lying. And I heard you don't like me. You don't like me. So I'm going to tell you what. I am going to leave you for a day. Bye-bye." The guy said, "Wow, what was that trippy? That was wild." So he wakes up. And then the maid comes into the room and says, "Good morning, how are you?" And he says, "Oh, your ugly face again? How come every single morning I have to see your ugly face?" And she says, "What? That's it. I'm not your maid anymore." He runs out. Shh. This is Benny Schai came before Jim Carrey. All right? And now what happens? He says, "What in the world? What? Excuse me. I'm saying the story." He said, "What? What did I do?" So he said, "Oh, I'm going to go get dressed. I'm going to visit my rich uncle." So he goes and visits his rich uncle, and the uncle says, "Oh, my dear nephew, how you doing? I can't wait to see you." He says, "Uncle, when are you going to croak and leave me all your money?" Oh, he says, "That's the case. You're out of my will." He said, "What's going on here? What's happening?" He says, "Let me see my fiance." He goes to see his fiance. The mother-in-law comes out. The mother-in-law comes out and says, "Oh, my sweet son-in-law, future son-in-law, how are you?" And he says, "Oh, you and your big mouth. When are you going to shut that trap already?" She says, "Okay, that's the case. Shit off's off." So the poor guy's sitting at the sidewalk crying. He said, "My whole life is ruined." He says, and then the little man comes back to him and says, "Oh, you see? You really do need me, don't you?" So what's the must? Obviously, this didn't really happen, right? So what did the Benny Sky want to tell us? What did he want to tell us? He says, "What's the point? There's a kinds of midvar sheker tircha. You shouldn't say a lie. But you don't have to say every stupidity that comes into your mind. You don't have to go around saying the truth, what you really think. You keep your mouth shut. You know, if you ever notice, the mouth is an amazing functional piece. Your tongue is lying straight down. It's not like at attention. And you have two boundaries. You have two boundaries. You have a boundary made out of ivory, your teeth, and your one made out of flesh. You go like this, right? You can't say anything. You know, you keep your mouth shut, and that's it. Very simple, right? Very simple. That's the way it goes. Now, the point of the matter is, when your people annoy you, you don't have to be best friends with everybody, but you have to treat everybody with respect. And you have to realize that anytime somebody talks to you, it's an assign for Hashem, from Hashem, how you're going to treat them and how you are going to react. You know, if you take offense, if people talk to you and your first inclination is to take offense to what people say to you, you will not have a life. You won't have a life because people are going to say things you don't like. Let me tell you time and time again, and especially when your boss is going to say something you don't like and you start up with your boss, you're not going to have a job. And what's going to happen when your wife says something you don't like? And I guarantee you, she will say things you don't like over and over again. Are you going to call her an idiot? say, I want a divorce, what are you going to say? You're going to keep your mouth shut, smile, and say, here, honey, here are some flowers, all right? And now we'll take care of everything. Go to the Orlovsky family flower shop and have a whole supply of fake flowers and pull it out every day, one flower a day, all right? But the bottom, gentlemen, the bottom line is we have to realize, we have to remember Flip Wilson, the Love of Shalom's words after being graven on our heart and say, what you see is what you get. And if Hashem made a certain person a certain way, you have to be ready to accept people for who they are. Don't try to change them unless you're the Rebbe or Rosh Hashiva, right? If you want to help change them, help them, motivate them in a positive way. But the bottom line is, you have to be accepting and tolerant and caring.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.